What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse of today's youth this hour to explore the FSU Seminole Reservation. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome Dylan Stockler. He's a recent graduate of FSU, majoring in geography and sociology.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. John Merrick. John Merrick is the FSU Campus Recreation Program Director.
Hello. Thank you.
Jessica Norwood, Facility Coordinator of FSU Recreation.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Alex McDonald is a senior majoring in environmental studies.
Hi, glad to be here.
And Kyle Less, he is a senior also majoring in civil and an environmental engineer.
Hello.
Welcome all of you to 411 Team. The Florida State Reservation is a 73-acre recreation facility located on Lake Bradford. This unique setting offers canoeing, kayaking, picnic area, swimming, and a climbing wall. In the summer, various camping programs are available at the res. The res is 4 miles from the FSU campus. There's a minimal charge for non-student or faculty. It's $2 for an adult, $1 for age 16 to 7, and free for 6 and under. The res offers various camping experiences. Tune in to 411 Teen to get the 411, and that's what we're going to do, talk about the res. Who can participate in these various programs, and where do they come from, and what's the process? So just kind of give us a kind of brief intro of the res.
Well, the reservation, like we discussed, is really close to campus, so we have a lot of students from Florida State University who come over. All the students get in for free to the reservation, but however, we're also open to the public. So we also accommodate children, as we discussed, and then many adults come out as well. So everyone in the Tallahassee community can come out.
One thing I notice whenever I talk about the res, it seems like a lot of people don't know about it. Are you all, is that still the case? I mean, it seems like whenever I mention it, though, the reservation, where is that? What are you talking about? I didn't know that exists. So do you find that that is often the case and you're still just kind of opening doors to new visitors, so to speak?
Right. We kind of joke around that it's a hidden gem in Tallahassee, and we have a lot of the same patrons come out over and over again once they find out about it. So we really like to get the word out that it's here and that it's open to the public, not only just to the university.
Well, I know you have a myriad of different programs and things to do. With this being the beginning of the school year, we want to talk about what's happening throughout the year. But I'd like to review the camps. The different camping programs that you just probably will be closing shortly. Okay.
Yeah, we are Camp Flastacoa is a summer camp. We just went through our reaccreditation process with the American Camp Association, which is a national body that just gives some guidelines for how to run summer camp safely and effectively. Mm-hmm. So we just had our reaccreditation, and we got a 100% score on that visit, and we're very proud of that. We have 8 weeks of summer camp, 8 one-week sessions of summer camp every summer. Mm-hmm. We have a day camp available for ages 8 to 13, and that are the activities that are very standard at a sleepaway camp, except it is a day camp setting. You go home at the end of the day, so our canoeing, kayaking, climbing wall, team building, arts and crafts, those types of activities. And then we also have two smaller camp programs for our older campers ages 13 to 16, and one of those is a travel camp where they come and get dropped off at the res, but then they go on day trips and paddle the Wasissa River rather than staying on site. And then we also have a leaders and training program, which is essentially our junior counselor program. That's how we groom to get counselors in the future as they get older.
Let's look at each one of those for just for a minute, and I'd like to have input from all of you. With Camp Flastacoa, what are the hours and what kind of activities do you do? What's the cost, you know, for those who may be interested in participating next year? I know it'd be too late now, but for those who want to participate next year, let's look at it a little more.
Okay. Like I said, we have 8 one-week sessions. Okay. For our normal day camp, which is ages 8 to 13, that is there at the res. Our gates open for that program at 7:30 in the morning. That's our earliest drop-off allowable time. And we do that for about an hour, and camp will really kick off at about 8:30 or 9 o'clock as we kind of get everybody together.
They must be having fun because I hear them screaming across the lake. I hear the voices, echoing across the lake. Yeah, so they must have a great
definitely
time.
Definitely our goal. We kick off every morning and close every afternoon with camp songs, and we're, yelling and being as loud as we can and making sure everybody's having fun.
Now, how many participants do you have at this camp?
We'll have 72 campers for our day camp process. And then for the two older camps that we talked about, our travel camp, we actually capped that at 9 participants because of transportation and how many people can be in a van and things like that, and Leave No Trace principles that we follow. And then our LIT program, which is our junior counselor style program, we capped that at 6 every session.
Now, what is the cost involved? How much is it?
For this summer that we just closed, our day camp session was $185 a week. And again, that's from 7:30 in the morning to 6 o'clock is the latest you can pick your camper back up. For our travel camp this session, it was $235 a week. And then our LIT process and program is slightly different in that it's more of a selection and interview based. It's because we do service projects and things like that. So with those service projects, we give a discount on the rate. And it is a two-week session for $200 if they are selected to be into that program.
Now, can campers participate longer than a week? I know you said it's a week session, but let's say they wanted to come for 3 weeks or 4 weeks. They could do that in succession.
If we have space, you sign up for as much as you like.
Okay. And when does sign-up usually begin for the listening audience, those parents, teachers, whomever, that think, this might be something I would like to, be more involved in?
We start our online registration process on March 1st every year.
Okay. All right. As far as males, females, how's the camp set up? I mean, how are they divided? Kind of give us a picture. What's a typical day? Want everything about
great.
This camp.
Right. We are fairly split gender wise. I think we slightly have more males, slightly, but it's an outdoor camp. We are the things you would think about in a traditional sleepaway, go for a week camp. We try to do those exact same activities. We just go home at the end of the day instead of staying at the res. So at 8:30, 9 o'clock, you will hear us across the lake. We'll be singing songs, and that's how we start our day with camp songs. And then we have 3 one-hour rotations from 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12. And that could, depending on your particular group, canoeing, kayaking, sailing, swimming, or climbing wall, team building program, nature education, arts and crafts. Just a wide range of activities.
Let's say I'm a special needs child. Can you accommodate me?
Yeah, what we have always said is that is not something we specialize in, but we certainly, we've had some phone calls from parents asking that same question, and what I always tell them is come out to the res and meet with me, and I will show you everything we do, and if you feel that is a good fit for your camper, we'll give everything we can a shot. We'll try what we can do, and we've been successful most of the time with that. Sometimes a parent says, I appreciate that. Maybe this isn't for me, and we totally understand that as well. So, again, it's not something we specialize in, but we will try to do anything we can.
Yeah. And I think that's great. Are there any academics involved at all? Parents are often involved wondering about academics. Are there any academics involved?
Not in a classroom setting or anything like that. We like to sneak educational components in, but it's not necessarily an academic component.
Well, I see groups of kids walking down Longleaf. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. What are they doing?
Typically, that's part of our that used to be called outdoor education for us, and the campers in summertime didn't want to go to something called education. So we changed that to nature this year, and mm-hmm. that's our class. So depending on the instructor and what their niche is in terms of that, we could do tracking, plant identification, animal identification, how to build shelters out of deadfall. Just things, you know, not as intense as a survival school or anything mm-hmm. like that, but just activities and how to be comfortable being outside, is really what we go for. 'Cause we are, a lot of our campers throughout the year spend a lot of time indoors and mm-hmm. we're just trying to mm-hmm. be outside as much as we can and get everybody comfortable and having fun being outside and not scared of what's there. Let's educate everybody on what it is. So there's not a strict curriculum, but we're just mm-hmm. trying to get people comfortable, you know, okay. Outdoors in the environment.
For our listening audience, someone may hear something that you're saying, may feel like they have some skills that they'd like to even donate, you know, to the camp. Are you open to accommodating folks in the community who may want to come in and volunteer, I don't know, 2 hours right. in teaching campers how to, you know, basket weave, whatever right. it may be. Is right. that something that you're open to?
We would never say we're closed to anything. Right. We do have, being part of the American Camp Association with our accreditation and being involved and associated with Florida State University, anybody who does any work with us would need to go through a background mm-hmm. check, volunteer or paid, mm-hmm. even our volunteers. And that is lengthy in terms of time process with the turnaround of fingerprints and things like mm-hmm. that. So if somebody was interested in doing that, we would want to start that early mm-hmm. just so we can make sure that they are cleared, you know, to work with the campers that we have.
Now, Jessica, I know you are the coordinator of the RES.
Yes.
What type of characteristics or qualities are you looking for in your camp participation? And what kind of student, what are you looking for?
For the counselors?
No, for those who want to participate. Let's say a parent says, oh, I think that would be great for my kid. I want them to go. But, you know, everything isn't for everybody is what right. I'm trying to say. So what are you looking for? Who would best benefit by coming to your camp? Certainly not somebody who doesn't want to deal with outside, right. for example.
I think it's best to definitely, if the camper is not afraid to get hot and sweaty and maybe a little mucky. Mm-hmm. But we certainly don't limit who comes out to camp at all. Over the past couple of years when I've been here, I've seen several different kinds of campers. The girls, you know, tend to not want to get as muddy, mm-hmm. and so maybe at swim time they stay on the beach and build a sandcastle, and the boys are in the water throwing mud or something. But I wouldn't say that we're selective of all on our
okay.
campers. It's such a fun age. The kids that come out 8 to 13, they're usually pretty active, and, you know, the only thing slowing them down may be the heat, mm-hmm. but we keep them pretty active, and they're a lot of fun. So,
now, are all of you involved in the summer camp? Can you share with me where you fit and what you do?
Yeah. Originally, I was just a lifeguard supervisor, so I was kind of hands-off with the campers. Didn't get to spend a ton of time around them other than just making sure they're safe on the water. But recently, I got an opportunity to actually work as a guest camp counselor to fill in, and I got to spend a week working with them, and I learned a ton from those kids. They were just so much fun. My group was all 9-year-olds, and they were a very quiet group compared to the rest of the campers. Normally they're running around screaming, and mine were very calm. So it was kind of an easy start for me, but I had a ton of fun actually working with them and seeing how the camp works and understanding what the camp counselors have to do day in and day out to make sure these kids have a chance to have so much fun. It was really very cool to actually get a chance to experience it.
Okay.
I actually got to be a guest counselor one day, too. And I had a group of 10-year-olds who, in comparison to Dylan, my group was very loud, loved running around, not so quiet. And they all sort of learned things from each other and used opportunities. They became really good friends. I was a guest counselor at the end of the week. Mm-hmm. And so it was neat to see how they had all become friends as they spent the whole week together. They all went to different elementary schools and really got to know each other. And I've been a camp counselor at sleepaway camps before. Mm-hmm. And I could really see similarities between what the campers were doing at their day camp at Flastikawa and at the camp mm-hmm. that I've been to. They really got a similar experience and were outside all day doing exciting activities.
Great.
I have not been a counselor, but there's a whole crew of us who have to do all the behind-the-scenes stuff. So we've checked in the kids in the morning and then made sure the parents are the correct parents when they go home at the end of the day. And we sell them the drinks, and we make sure there's enough kayaks and canoes out on the water for the kids.
Okay.
We do not envy Kyle and his job.
Well, given you're on our disappearing Lake Bradford, you know, I mean, I guess it must be down, what, 10 feet or something? Because I know usually my dock is right at water level, okay? Mm-hmm. Now I can't have a boat in there at all. Mm-hmm. So given that, I know that water has been an important part of Absolutely. Camping. What about that student who is not real comfortable with water, okay? Can they still benefit, you know, from coming to camp, or would that really be a real deficit for them to be coming there?
Yeah, we've had different campers with different interest levels in terms of the water. And we always, you know, we have a paddling rotation. And the counselor can talk with the group and say, do we want a kayak today? Do we want a canoe today? What skills mm-hmm. would we like to work on? So if there is some issues with how comfortable they may be, we can put them in a canoe with that counselor, and that may help them out a little bit.
Right.
And with the swimming rotation, we don't offer swim lessons, necessarily at the lake. But that's just a very difficult thing with how dark the water is and all the tannins. So, but we do have lifeguards close at hand that help us with that, as well as our sailing. We have a sailing instructor that is their job for the camp, is to teach sailing to the rest of the camp. So, we have some educational components so that if somebody is a little concerned, we have tools to kind of help them with that.
Okay. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. Tuned in to 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and other interested folks. This hour, we're talking with members of the FSU Seminole Reservation staff. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me again at the roundtable, I welcome Kyle Lusk, Alice McDonald, Jessica Norwood, Jordan Merrick, and Dylan Stockler. During the break, we were talking about how Kyle had such a great job. Kyle, share with us, you know, the benefits and just what you actually do with the job. I know you interact a lot with the parents.
We check in all the kids in the morning, so we have to make sure the parent drops them off at the right time. And then during the actual day, we only really deal with the kids when we have the kayaks and canoes out on the water, or when one of the kids comes in during lunch and wants to buy an extra drink. And every so often a kid will get hurt and they'll be radioed for us to get a lifeguard for them to send first aid out to them. And at the end of the day, we have to, whenever the adult comes to pick them up, we check their ID and then radio for the kid to be sent up. So some of the adults aren't, they forget to bring their ID or the kid doesn't go to the wrong car. It's always fun.
How do you all, and I want to talk about the other things that you do and are involved in, but I want to know, lastly, how do you handle discipline at a camp? Okay.
Yeah.
And that's to all of you. I mean, you know, how do you handle it? How do you intervene? I mean, because I would think with those young kids, they got a lot of energy and they're not closed up in a classroom, which is something they're used to, you know, 9 months out the year. So it's a whole unique kind of different experience. And behaviors that they may have had in the classroom may carry over into the camp. They may or may not create problems, and just wondering, what do you do? How do you handle those?
Well, that's an interview question for us, for camp counselors. So that just because we love to know what people's instincts are with that. The first thing I would say is that we're fortunate in that we don't have too many serious discipline issues. That's just campers, they're happy to be there. You know, they're having fun. I'd say some of the more difficult things is just maybe a camper doesn't want to participate in whatever they're scheduled to do at that time, you know. So the discipline issues are small. And we have a week-long training for our staff before camp happens, and we go over scenarios with our camp counselors and how to handle those. And then we have a few – so the counselors would interact immediately, and they would address any issues that come up. If something got to a point where they weren't sure what to do as a counselor, or it went beyond what the counselor necessarily would know to do, we have a student supervisor, and then we have Jessica and myself and another, the assistant director of the camp, that can be called in for reinforcement, so to speak. But it rarely, once the camper hears, you know, you're going to have to go sit in Jordan's office, it usually stops, you know, at that point in time. So,
well, up until this point, I know we've been talking about the programs that you provide in the summer. Now, do you have any type of camping activities for kids or program activities throughout the year?
Well, I work for Outdoor Pursuits, which is not for kids like the summer camp, but we do more things for students all through the year. During the week, we have an office out at the res, and we rent out camping gear for students or anybody from the community who's interested in going camping on their own. We supply all the tents, backpacks, stoves, anything you would really need for a camping trip. But also on the weekends, we go, we take students and anybody else out on camping trips that we lead as trip leaders. And we go all the way up to North Carolina. We have vans that we drive and take everybody. But we do that spring, summer, and fall.
Okay, so let me make sure I hear you correctly. So let's say I want to be involved in some kind of camping throughout the year. I can call the res and get the necessary equipment that I need that in my camping. And I guess I can rent it from you all on a daily basis, weekly basis. How does that go?
We have all of our information on our website, but we...
Give us the website and contact numbers. Perfect, perfect. Lead in. Whomever, you know, if you can share contact information for those listening.
Yeah, we're transitioning websites right now, but currently our older website will forward to the new one.
Okay.
And it's it is fsu.campusrec.com. And from there, that'll take you to the FSU Campus Recreation website. And then there are links to all of our programs, the reservation being one of those. Also, Alex's program that she was just speaking of is Outdoor Pursuits, so that would be another option. Some of the other programs we have at the res all have their own links from that main fsu.campusrec.com. And then the main line for Outdoor Pursuits in the waterfront park that we have just for general patrons to come is 644-2449.
Okay. interrupted you, but I wanted to get out that important information.
More about the rental procedures is, unfortunately, it's not free for students like so many of the other things out at the res, but we do prices by weekend or weekly rentals, and those are different depending on the gear, if you're a student or not.
Mm-hmm. Now, give me an idea, an array of the gear that you have available. I didn't know it was you or me. Yeah.
We have a room full of gear. If you're going on a backpacking trip, then we have everything with sleeping bags, backpacks, any camping stoves and pots, flashlights, sleeping mats. If you're going, we offer paddling trips that we lead. We don't rent boats, but we have all of our own gear for that. That if you sign up for a trip with us, we have all of our dry bags, boats, life jackets.
So you have ongoing camping trips throughout the year.
Yes, we do.
Okay, that people may want to participate in.
Yeah.
And they can go on the web, go to Outdoor Pursuits, and find out what you have throughout the year. Can you give me an example of the type of trips that you have?
Well, we have a schedule that's listed on our website for each semester, and we have a huge range of trips. We do a lot of backpacking trips. We do day trips, overnights, and full weekend trips.
Oh, okay.
So any sort of, you know, whatever length you want, then
and this goes on throughout the, I would say, academic school year.
Yes. For this coming fall, I think we have a total of 21 trips.
Wow.
So just about every weekend. But we do backpacking trips. This coming fall, we're going to go skydiving.
Really?
Yeah, we do a lot of paddling trips locally in Florida.
Can old school folks come if you're 50?
Yeah, we have a lot of alumni that come out on our trips. I know personally on some of my trips, I've had people from the military who graduated college a while back and just love to get back out into the outdoors.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, huge variety. We do river trips, beach trips.
Sounds like there's something for everyone.
Something for everybody, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No matter what you want to do, okay? All programs I know must have rules and regulations. And are there any particular rules or regulations that the listening audience needs to be aware of? As far as participation is concerned?
I know Outdoor Pursuits, one of our biggest things is we have a no alcohol or drug policy, of course, when we go out on our trips.
And that's pretty standard for any program associated with Florida State University.
Yeah.
That's also a general rule, even though that the waterfront park at the res is open to non-students, that is a rule for the park, students or non-students, that doesn't matter and things like that. And then each program tends to have its own specific subset of rules that just to keep – and they're mostly around keeping the participants safe from a liability standpoint. So the team building program, FSU Challenge, you need to wear closed-toed shoes. But we tell you all that information when you're going Outdoor Pursuits. You need to have your appropriate clothing and footwear and gear for the trip. We have some rentals available at the res in terms of our conference center and our cabins. Well, our cabins are for overnight retreats, not for just coming to stay a night, but it needs to be in conjunction with either a challenge course or the conference center rental so that it's a retreat-oriented package, so that it's a program, not just an open rental.
Now, the conference center, let's say a local group in the community is having a retreat, just a day retreat or a two-day retreat, can they contact you all and rent it and come in, or do you have to be associated with the university?
We actually, a lot of our rentals for the conference center are with the Tallahassee community, so you don't have to be associated with the FSU to rent the conference center. It is only for business meetings, so a lot of companies in Tallahassee and even outside the area like to come for an entire day. get lunch or breakfast catered, and they are up there all day, and they really like it because it's quiet, and it's different from their normal office building with just a bunch of walls and no windows. So
it's a great environment.
I think
it's conducive to, you know, if you got to get into some real inner thought or whatever, mm-hmm. but it's super. It's great to get, it is like a little hidden secret here in the middle of Tallahassee, because you don't have to go way out, you know, to get this kind of environment.
Right. It's right here. And what a lot of people compliment our conference center because it has a screened-in porch on the front, mm-hmm. and so there's tables that you can eat and fans, and there's also a shelter adjacent to it that a lot of people like to sit outside to eat. And then they'll all come back in after lunch and wrap up their business. So it's definitely in the fall. It gets pretty booked, but we cater to a lot of different groups.
Okay. What other programming do you all have during the academic year?
We are open. The reservation will continue to stay open every day, noon until 7, until about daylight savings time. And at that time, it's still open to the Tallahassee community, so teens or whomever can come out. And
again, excuse me for interrupting you. What I hear you saying, and I just want to make sure, is anybody can participate,
yes.
you know, and come. They might have to pay the fee of, what, $2
right.
or something?
Right. If you're 16 and older, it's $2 per person. 7 to 15 is $1, and 6 and under is free. And it's always open to everyone. It's very rare that we have a special event that we close the park. But that would obviously be advertised on our website and on our phone line if we happen to mm-hmm. be closed. We'd mm-hmm. advertise it a couple weeks in advance. But anyone can come out. We have canoes, kayaks, stand-up paddle boards, which are really popular right now. We actually just ordered some more because they're that popular.
What's the appeal there? What do you think?
It's different, and mm-hmm. it's really, I've done it a few times, and it's an ab workout.
Really?
It's a lot of fun, and I think the whole concept of just being able to stand up the whole time mm-hmm. And having your paddle, and it's one person per board, so a lot of people like to come out and do it side by side.
Now, if people want to participate and can't swim, is that a problem? If they don't know how to swim?
Anytime anybody is in one of the vessels, canoes, kayaks, stand-up paddle boards, we have PFDs, personal flotation devices, that mm-hmm. everyone is required to wear. Mm-hmm. So in terms of safety with those particular vessels, the PFD, the flotation devices, is there for those individuals.
Okay, so they can still participate. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a deterrent. You say that, you know, because folks may be listening and go, wow, I'd really like to do it. I'm not real comfortable swimming, but I wonder if they would, you know, allow me to come.
I would say that most of our visitors aren't very comfortable with the water.
Especially, you know, a lot of people come over and they can't see the body. It's not a mm-hmm. swimming pool. And I knew my daughters, when they were growing up, their friends would come over. I don't know about swimming in the lake, you know, because you can't see anything. But I hate to interrupt, but I just thought about that.
No, it's real exciting to see so many people come out there and be hesitant to get in the water. Mm-hmm. A ton of our visitors have never canoed or kayaked or even paddleboard or even heard of it. So to see them come out to the res and get on their kayak for the first time and get out there in the water and paddle around and enjoy the day, it's kind of cool to see that happen out there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it's not a real problem at all.
Not at all.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I'd like to hear. Another question folks always ask, alligators, do you have problems? Well, this is a question I always get when folks come to my house, so I think it would apply to you too, right? You know, what about the alligators? Is it safe for me to get in there? Talk about that.
Well, we are a lake in Florida, so yes.
And that's what I tell folks.
We do have alligators. Mm-hmm. Going back to the swimming thing with Dylan, whenever we're open, we always have a certain amount of lifeguards on staff who are doing lake watch. And a part of that is to keep an eye on our patrons to make sure when they're on the water, they have their life jackets on. If a canoe or something flips, they immediately go out there and help them get back in. But also another one of their duties is to keep an eye on the alligators and to see where they are.
Do you see them a lot? Because I guess I've lived out there 25 years, and I haven't really.
Just early in the morning and later in the day. We really don't mm-hmm. see them during our peak hours.
And now that the water, the level is down, you may see them a little bit more or less.
Well, right now we only have one gator out on the lake, and the campers have dubbed him with the name Gary. So we have Gary the gator out there, but he's real small, probably only about 4 feet long. But that's the only one we have currently at Lake Radford.
And we have a good relationship with FWC, and Officer Hagman is one of our favorites, and he comes out to our staff trainings and informs our staff, look, here is an alligator. These are the things you should be concerned with. These are the things that are myth and not to be concerned with. Mm-hmm. Here's how you handle that situation, and here's my phone number if one becomes a nuisance, and I will be there. And we have a good relationship with Florida Fish and Wildlife, and they will come out anytime we ask them to, basically. So our staff are educated on that, so we can help educate patrons as well.
And that's a key. I think that's real important, Jordan, that you said the educated, because once you are familiar with that type of environment, you'll find out that the alligators and the snakes, they don't want to be where all that activity is anyway. So if you have motorboats and people, you know, canoeing and raising a lot of sand and talking a whole lot, that's the last place that they really want to be. Absolutely. So they tend to want to be the I try to tell folks that, but they like kind of look at me like, yeah.
So we do the same thing. We tell people that they won't bother you if you don't hit them with a paddle, but they don't always believe us.
They don't believe us.
Right. Yeah. No, they don't. But it's just a part of the environment.
Absolutely.
You know, you learn how to deal. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and this is a great program. It's one of my favorites. I do it every year. We focus on the reservation. Going to take a break, but we'll continue and momentarily. If you're just joining in, you're tuned into 411 Teen. 411 Teen provides a forum for teens and other interested folks to explore and examine various issues and events and happenings that impact, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and this hour I have been talking with Dylan Stockler, Jordan Merritt, Jessica Norwood, Alex McDonald, and Kyle Lusk. We have been talking about the FSU reservation, commonly known as the Res. I threw this question out to all of you. In your opinion, what has been the most beneficial component or thing of being involved with the Res? What keeps you there? What is the motivation? What do you love about it? I mean, you know, the environment alone is just stimulating to me, so I can understand. But what is it that just kind of keeps you going?
For me, I just find it to be amazingly beautiful. From my first day working out there, I was just shocked at the natural beauty of the FSU reservation. The sunsets are out of control. Every night it just shocks me how gorgeous they are. And it's just a chance for people to come out and relax. There's just no stress out there. It's just a chance to really enjoy a little bit of nature.
Okay. I think echoing what Dylan said, but I think Jessica and I are probably two of the most fortunate people in town in that we're full-time professional staff for FSU Campus Recreation, and that's where our office is. So we don't to go to campus unless we have a meeting. So we're there every day.
Yeah, I've got the best.
That's our office, you know, so we have the best lunch spot in town, and, you know, it's a great place to work and be affiliated through such tradition at Florida State. I mean, the original, I think, 7 acres was bought in 1920, you know. So, I mean, just the fact that Florida State has had a piece of this property for not quite 100 years is very neat to me. And then on top of that, being an outdoor recreation major, I mean, how could you not want to be there?
And I'm going to get back to that because we may have some folks who are listening who are interested and want to go, well, what do I need to major in? What do I need to do if I want to do that? Jessica?
Yeah, I hate to echo everyone at the table, but Dylan's right. It's absolutely beautiful when you walk outside. You sit in your office, and it's hard to ever have a bad day. You just walk outside our back porch, me and Jordan, and it's like, wow, I can't believe I work here. But also what Jordan touched on, there's so much history and tradition out there. You can't take it for granted. And then being a professional, and my job is to mentor the students at FSU who work out there. And so that never gets old. And then there's always, every day's different. There's always a different group out there, whether they're doing something with the challenge course that we have or they're just renting gear from Outdoor Pursuits. Every day is different, so that always keeps it entertaining.
Okay.
Well, I have a little bit different job from everybody else with my part of Campus Rec, and I spend a lot of time away from the res. And one of my favorite parts about my job is just the level of interaction I get with people. When I go on trips for the weekend and spend anywhere from a day to 3 days with people, then it's just really nice to be able to interact with people instead of other jobs where you might see them for 30 seconds to make some sort of transaction. I get to meet a lot of really great people. We have a lot of international students that come to the res or to work with Outdoor Pursuits. So it's really nice getting to meet people from other countries here and show them around. And also, I really like that I have a good teaching aspect of my job where all of our trips are set up for beginning level participants. So I get to teach everybody paddling strokes, how to pack a backpack when we go on trips. And it's a really cool part of my job to just see people learning and enjoy and learning something that they enjoy.
Okay. So I get to interact with everyone who shows up. So that's always fun because most job people aren't all that excited to go and just buy something or eat somewhere, but they're always excited to come. I'm going to go kayaking today or something. So everyone's happy to be there, and that's always fun.
Okay. Now, there are a couple of things. First of all, I need to ask you all, what if I'm interested in doing something like this on a professional basis? What academic track should I follow?
I think Jessica and I did probably two different routes to get here. My interest in emphasis in college was the team building and group dynamics and using the wilderness as a tool to get groups of people to work together better. Mm-hmm. So I was a recreation and leisure services administration major and then did all my emphasis work in the College of Communication and psychology and sociology courses and things like that to focus on the group dynamics. So that was, I mean, in terms of schooling, that's how I got to where I was. And then my internship led to a professional position before I came back to FSU. So I graduated from FSU, went to another entity to build challenge courses and train people on how to use them for a few years, and then the opportunity to run FSU's challenge course up, and I have been here for 8 years after that now.
So. That's great. About you, Dad.
I got my undergraduate degree in exercise science, and When I was in undergrad, I was working in the athletic department, so I knew I wanted to stay in something at the university level. So I got my master's in sport administration, and with that, I had a graduate internship in facility operations of a campus rec program at my graduate school, and wanted to stay in facilities and work with the students because absolutely fell in love with it and knew that's exactly what I wanted to do. And just got lucky enough that FSU had this opportunity in a gorgeous outdoor park, still facility, still campus rec, still mentoring. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got here, and I just finished my first year.
Okay. What other activities or programs are occur throughout the year? I know, for example, sometimes I know you must have concerts over there, or I hear concerts or music or something. So share with us what else is going on, what we can anticipate and look forward to throughout the year, if you will.
Yeah, throughout the year we'll try and have different programs at the res. Like you talked about, there might be a band out there. Mm-hmm. We have a little stage, and so sometimes we like to have bands out there for the students or anyone to enjoy, and sometimes we'll have different food venues come out there.
When you say that, elaborate on that.
Well, for instance, this fall we are having what we call Sunset at the Res, and this particular program is for, we're targeting incoming freshmen at FSU.
Okay.
And so we will have a band and food, and I think we're having probably a barbecue. Yes, and then in the spring, usually in March, we have an event called Res Fest. And that's another, it's on a Saturday, okay. And we'll have all of our waterfront activities available. So all the boat vessels that we've been talking about, sand volleyball, we had two sand volleyball courts. So a lot of students will do that.
Again, would you, excuse me for interrupting you, but for our listening audience, would you share the various water level activities that are available?
Yes, there with the boat vessel rentals, there's canoes, kayaks, and stand-up paddle boards.
Okay.
And then we have a roped-off swimming area, which we always have a lifeguard at.
Is there still water to swim?
Yes, there is.
Keep moving it out.
I know.
Just keep moving the rope out, and we do. so we have that available. And with the low water level, we joke that it's a blessing and a curse because it's very low, but that means we have a lot more sand and beach mm-hmm. area for mm-hmm. people to hang out at. And so there's also sand volleyball, disc golf. I believe it's 8 holes.
Oh, what's that?
9.
Mm-hmm. What is that? What does that involve?
It's a disc golf is a new – there's a course at Tom Brown that's a very large open 18-hole disc golf course. We have installed 9 holes at the rest. That is very – I've heard it labeled a technical course just because we have definite paths through trees that provide hazards and, mm-hmm. and, you know, a difficult shot. Mm-hmm. So – we have discs at the res for checkout, but a lot of people that we've seen bring their own. And again, it's just a 9-hole disc golf course where another activity for us to offer. Jess joked that the low water level is a blessing and a curse. And one thing that we're finding is it is giving us an opportunity to focus more on our land activities and look at some new things mm-hmm. that we can offer students and patrons. And disc golf is one thing that we're starting to emphasize a little bit more with that.
Is the lake going to disappear? And I'm real serious. I've heard. It's never disappeared since I've lived there. But I know I have neighbors who have lived there even longer, and they talk about how it did disappear. Okay. It has, yeah.
It came back. So that's what we're counting on. It'll come back. It's cyclical. We'll find it again. This is we're estimating at this point. You know, it's probably a 20-year low. Miss Patty, that also works out at the res, and she's this is the lowest she has seen it since she has worked out there. Mm-hmm. But it'll come back. We just have to be patient and hope lots of rain comes.
Right. And it slowed us down. We still sailed this summer with our sailing camp, mm-hmm. And we still do all of our boat rentals, and there's still a swimming area.
Okay. We didn't talk about the sailing camp. Tell us about that.
It's a rotation within our camp that we run at the res. So we had a U.S. Sailing Level 1 certified instructor that worked for us for the summer and just did some basic introductory sailing, so smaller vessels, and obviously we don't have a lot of wind necessarily on the lake, but it introduces the campers to the sport of sailing, as well as some knot tying and some other techniques. And we've had a lot of campers that parents have called because their camper has told them about sailing, and the camper wants to teach the parent how, because they have no idea how to do that. So it's kind of a neat full circle there for us. Mm-hmm. So.
You mentioned the challenge course. Do you still have the challenge course? And what does it involve, and how can one participate in it?
Yeah, we sure do. Well, we've had a low course since 1995, and that's kind of my original role when I came here as a professional was just focusing on that challenge course. So we've added some new elements. And we have a high course with a climbing wall and a zip wire that's been there for a while. And we will run team building programs for any group that wants it.
Share with our listening audience exactly what the climbing wall is and the zip line is.
Okay.
Because I think some people don't know what that is.
Right. Those two activities or elements, so to speak, are part of our high challenge course. So we have different stages of our challenge course, and part of it is done in a field. If you're a little bit nervous about maybe doing some elements or things like that, we can still do team building with your group, and we can do it in a field space. Then we have our lowets, which are just things constructed out of rope or lumber or cable that have a specific team building component in mind. And then we have our high course, of which the climbing wall and the zip wire are a part of. And that is, our climbing wall is probably about 35 feet high, and it has climbed. It's surfaced with lumber, and we have climbing holds attached to that. And then a zip wire is basically, we put a pulley on a wire and put you in a harness and clip you in, and you go for a ride. So
you have a lot of people participating in that, I'm sure.
We do. Our climbing wall is open. Free to students, and an additional $3 climbing fee for any general patrons on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we'll have that open every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the res.
Okay. Anything else that we did not cover that you will be doing throughout the academic year?
I think we covered everything from outdoor pursuits.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We will be welcoming everybody to come out to the res.
So we want to invite everyone to come out to FSU Reservation. Will you again give us your web or contact information?
Sure. The website is fsu.campusrec.com. And then from that website, we'll list all the campus recreation programs, of which Outdoor Pursuits, the FSU Reservation, and FSU Challenge, the team building program, all have their own links from there. And then the main waterfront park phone number is 644-2449. And then our main office number for facility reservations is 644-6892.
Again, I want to say thanks to all of you. This is always one of my favorite programs. You've shared a wealth of information for my listening audience. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical engineer, Evan Rossi. Audio copies are available. And if you would like to participate in 411 Team or have topic suggestions, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. That's 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org.